The Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim the mitzvah with yamin or smol, right and left. And as the famous Sifri Rashi quotes, what do you mean, don't turn away right or left? So Rashi quotes the Sifri that even if the rabbis tell you left is right or right is left, you have to listen to them. But Kol Shekhen, how much more so, if they tell you right is right and left is left, you have to listen. But even if they tell you left is right, you have to listen. So at first glance, if you just read Rashi Kaputo, it seems to be saying you have to follow the rabbis even when they're wrong. If they're telling you left is right and right is left, so that's the implication of Rashi. In fact, Rav Shechta always likes saying over from Herman Wulk, who actually taught at Yeshiva University, I guess, for a couple of years. I mean, I don't think he taught Hebrew, but he taught in the university. And he wrote a book called The Kane Mutiny. I think it was a movie also. I didn't read the book. I haven't seen the movie. My uncle told me it was a movie also. That basically the book's about, well, the name is Kane. That's the name of the ship. Mutiny is what happened on the ship. So basically, the captain went psycho. I think he was upset the strawberries weren't fresh, or he didn't have the right bounce on the watermelon. He didn't know how to get the ripe one. You know, whatever the case was, some silly things, and the captain went crazy. And basically, the yesod of the book was, even if the captain goes nuts, when he's on the ship, he's the boss. You listen to the captain, whatever he says. I guess you could extend it to an airplane, a pilot as well. So he told the boys, he said, you know where I got this idea from? You know where I got the Kane Mutiny from? From Rashi and Chumash. The Rashi and Lo Susser says you have to follow the rabbis even when right is left, left is right. So one of the boys raised their hands and said, but you didn't learn the Ramban on the Pasuk. But that's obviously Rashi can't be saying that. But it's against the Mishnah in Croesus. The first Mishnah, or in Harias, that is, that talks about bringing different karbanos. So basically the Mishnah tells us that if the rabbis make a mistake, so you have to change it. In other words, if it gets into how many, if it's 51%, how much of Klai Yisrael, if the rabbis say you could turn on lights on Shabbos and they find it was a mistake, so the different types of atonement you need, whether you need it or the Beis and Agado brings it. So we see clearly from the Mishnah that rabbinic law is not binding in error. So obviously Rashi cannot mean that you follow right is left, left is right. So the Ramban writes, all it says is he throws in one word, nirin. It appears to you that rabbis are telling you left is right and right is left. In other words, not that they actually are telling you the right. You're right. If they told you right is left, then maybe you wouldn't have to listen to them. But how would you know? In other words, if a person's a Talmud Chacham, he gil lohra, and he knows someone made a mistake, then obviously maybe it's even us to follow the person if you know they made a mistake. But that's to the average Baal HaBas, who, let's say, the rabbi knows much more than him, and he just says, you know what, I think the rabbi is wrong. Yes, so it's not talk radio here. Not everyone's opinion is equal, and you have to earn an opinion. So obviously, if you're a Talmud Chacham, you have a right to your opinion. But if you're not a Talmud Chacham and you think someone making a mistake, doesn't mean he's not, but you have to go speak to someone and check. The fact you think there's a mistake doesn't mean anything. We have to first find out that there actually was a mistake done. So that's what the Ramban writes. It's near and it appears in his eyes that it was a mistake. So that's how the Ramban writes. Just put in the word near. And interesting, Rav Chanan Wasserman has a famous shtickle on this. He says, what's the pshat when they tell you right is left and left is right? He says that's referring to when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, or Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Yesh koach biyad chachamim la'akor dvar Torah b'shevi atase, that the rabbis have the power to tell you not to do something, b'shei v'altasa. In other words, they can't tell you to violate b'kum v'ase. In other words, if a person's having a Mac attack, they can't tell him you go to McDonald's and have your burgers. That's actively violating the Torah. But to merely tell you not to do something, b'shei v'altasa, to tell you not to blow shofar, to tell you not to shake gulav, shake the dalad minim on Shabbos, that is okay. So that's what Rabbi Chanan says, that's the pshat. That they told him, and they tell you left is right and right is left. The Torah tells me shofar on Shabbos. The rabbis tell me no shofar on Shabbos. Who do we listen to? We listen to the rabbis. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Xeira de Rava, that are kol baki, and everyone's chayiv in hearing the shofar, but not everyone knows how to blow it. So the Xeira are afraid you might yelach etzo baki velilmod. So we see that's a case of following the rabbis left is right. That's a Rabbi Chanan writes that we see, and we do it when shofar falls, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't. That's how Rabbi Chanan. It's interesting pshat from Rav Moshe Glasner. He wrote a sefer, the Dor Ravi. He's like the first. He's one of the great grands. I think fourth generation from the Chasam Sofer. He was the first one to be called Moshe, and he has in his introduction to Chul and other. He's an independent thinker. It's a lot of interesting things. So he raises this question. He says, on one hand, we see the Sifri says, you follow the rabbis, even when they tell you right is left and left, you know, right is left and left is right. On the other hand, the Mishnah tells us rabbinic law is not binding in error, so which one is it? So he has an interesting discussion which ties into many, many different issues, but he has a whole discussion in terms of, let's say, the Gemara in Shabbos about Hahore Kina, that the Gemara tells us that if you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos, why? You're not allowed to kill animals on Shabbos. Shchita, you can't kill human beings all week long. You can't kill animals on Shabbos. So how come you could kill kinim on Shabbos and that the hashoche we know yechayev? So the Gemara says basically because, or the assumption was, enu pararobo is basically spontaneous generation that. They're not born the same way. They come from Shmutz. They don't come from a mommy. So the Gemara says, Ahore Kina B'Shabbos, it's Pater. So many of the Achronim are bothered, but today, modern science, and it's accepted throughout science. I think Louis Pasteur in the late 1800s, he was the final proof that it doesn't exist anymore. So the question is, how do you deal with the Gemara? The Gemara seems to imply that the reason why Ahore Kina on Shabbos is Mutter is because it's spontaneous generation. But today, science says we don't believe in spontaneous generation. It's not true. So, you know, so many answers to this question. It touches on another shiur, when science and Torah collide, does Jewish law change? But this is to touch on his yisod here. So basically, he says as follows. Rav Moshe Glasner writes, well, it depends like this. He says, when the rabbi said in the Talmud, Ahore Kina, when they said spontaneous generation, when they were around, what were the scientists of the day saying? Even the rabbis who were scientists. In other words, when the rabbis in the Talmud said Ahore Kina, was that against what the scientists said during... Like, they just said something against science during that day? Or no, it was the cutting edge of science saying spontaneous generation was in. So Rav Moshe Glasner wants to make a distinction. One could, you know, debate the distinction or not. But what he says is, he says, if the rabbis were following the science of the time and basically everyone believed in spontaneous generation, so then if the law was based on the proper science of its time, so then we say, you listen to the rabbis. But if it was based on erroneous, like even let's say if during Tzmana Gemara, let's say no one believed in spontaneous generation, and the rabbi said the halacha, so then he says, then you don't follow, that's a mistake. He's saying, if at the time they made the psak, that was, everything was correct about it, That was all the science and all the information was there. And basically that's what the scientist believes. So the fact that scientists disproved that later on, we'll have to explain why, but that's what he says. So he says, if Chazal were right at the time, so even though science changed later, we leave the luck. So Hore Kina B'Shabbos remains, you're allowed to. But the Mish, so that's left is right, right is left. That we listen to the rabbis, if at the time they made a psak, it was based on the correct information they had, so then right is left, we stay with them, even if times have changed. But if they're erroneous from originally, if they paskin spontaneous generation, even though the science at the time said it was false, so then that's the Mishnah Harias, that's the Mishnah that we say, no, we don't, if the rabbis make a mistake, we don't follow. That's a distinction from Moshe and Glazer. You know, others might say, well, big deal, I don't care why they made a mistake. Others will say, if they're wrong, they're wrong. I don't care if they're wrong because, even if they're wrong based on erroneous info, or it could have been right then, but today this information is different. It's kind of, it reminds me a little bit of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes that there were six, Chazal tell us about the 6,000 years. So the first 2,000 years were years of Tohu Vavohu. The second 1,000 years was time of Torah. And the third and the last 2,000 years was the time of Mashiach. So in fact, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. And as the Rambam writes, he was Becheska's Mashiach at the time. He thought he was the one. So he points out that so Rabbi Akiva said that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach, so the rabbi said to the Chacham said to him, what are you talking about? You'll have grass growing on your forehead, meaning you'll be dead and buried for many years before the Mashiach. In other words, they had a tradition that the Mashiach wasn't coming to the year 4,000. Apparently Rabbi Akiva didn't have that tradition. So the question is, what does that mean? The 2,000 years of Torah. You mean right now we're not learning Torah? All the Torah going on in America, in Eretz Yisrael, Canada, like all this is in Torah? What does it mean? Torah ended in the year 4,000. So the Chazon Ish, he speculates the following. He says, perhaps this is what it means. And he gives an example with Trefa, the laws of Trefa. That, let's say, Chazal tell us this is the animal's a Trefa. But Bizman Hazeh, the doctors say, the medical science proves that the animals, they say are trefers today, live more than a year, or the reverse. So the Chazon Ish says, we go by whatever Chazal called it a trefer, it's still a trefer today. Because he says, his yisod is, during between the years 2000 and 4000, these are the years where the principles of Torah were developed. And therefore, obviously, as always, we take the principles now and apply it to our new reality and come up with different answers. But the principles can't change. So therefore, during these 2,000 years, they were developing the principles, and that can't change. So therefore, the laws of Trefa are based on what Chazal said. So even if today, well, we see the reality that living more than a year, we al pi halacha that consider the trefa, and he has different examples of where that the bottom line is whatever Chazal said. So let's say, for instance, the Torah tells us b'shav b'kav v'kumecha. So v'kumecha, so it says because the kings wake up during the third hour. Today, many people sleep much later, so why don't we say we could daven Kriya Shema in the morning later? So I think the cast of Mishnah writes, no, because Uvikumecha, that was Chazal defined what Uvikumecha means. So during that time, they sleep, they get up during a certain time, and that's it. So that's what the Chazon Ish seems to be saying. Certain things are locked in that don't change. So it seems to be saying, similar to my Moshe Glasna here, that if Chazal, if they were basing it on their principles that they had, so therefore, left is right, right is left. Even if they're wrong, but if they base it on the correct principles, that stays. So that's what Rav Moshe Glasner writes. That's his explanation. We said Rashi quoted the Sifri that you follow the rabbis, right is left, left is right, and therefore implying that the rabbinic law, rabbinic psak is binding even in era, and that's the Cain Mutiny book based on that. But from the Ramban, you see it's not true. We see from the Mishnah, I think it's in Hurriyas, that a beis that makes a mistake, you need an atonement, you bring a carbon, you have to change. So how do we reconcile the two? So the Ramban said simple, it's nirin, it disappears in their eyes. But obviously if you know they're wrong, you don't follow them. But because you think they're wrong, that doesn't mean anything. We don't care what you think, as long as you don't know anything, your opinion really doesn't make a difference here. If they're wrong, they're wrong, but if you think they're wrong, that's not enough. We had the Rav Chaim Wasserman and about Yesh Koach V'Yach Chachamim, that we do it, left is right. That we listen to the rabbis when they tell you no shofar on Shabbos, and they tell you no Dalad Minim on Sukkot. And thirdly, Rav Moshe Glasner's explanation that it depends when, like the example of Ahore Kina, that it depends. He said, if it was based on the cutting edge science of that day, and the Gemara said spontaneous generation, so then, even if that's changed, that was kind of like the Chazanish, that was built into that 2,000 to 4,000 year, and then that's the principles of the Torah. And as, you know, kind of like Rav Deskler says elsewhere, like Rav Deskler writes in Chuin, that the Gemara talks about different types of treifas. So the Gemara has a case where a certain animal, I think it's a wildcat, the fact that this wildcat cause another animal, this animal dies quicker. So during the time of the Gemara, the time of the Rishonim, or earlier times, they thought the reason was because the wildcat releases some venom, and the venom goes and the poisons them, and they die. But now they found that's not true. There is no venom. So Rav Deskler says, yeah, okay, so the law stays. We know the wildcat, when he calls you, you're a trafer. Okay, so let's go into modern technology, modern science. Okay, so now you know why the reason is. In other words, the luck is not changing. The luck is true. The luck is not changing. But during modern times, they said it wasn't the venom. They said, well, if he bites deep down, it coils deep down, so dirt gets inside, and it causes infection. So basically, what Deskler's yesod is, no, we want to take modern technology. In other words, when Chazal said something, they knew it. That was built, and that's the 2000, that's going to be true forever. You're right. So we want to go into modern science to figure out what's the pshat in Chazal. But not so. So the reason might change. It's not that we see venom's wrong, but doesn't mean the halacha is wrong. We have to come up based on knowing the modern science to figure out, you know, that halacha. So either way, that's what Moshe Glasner seems to be working with the Chazan Ish, that since at the time Ahore Kina was right, so even though today we don't believe in spontaneous generation, the halacha stays the same. And however, if they were basing it on erroneous information, then we don't follow them. But if they're based on true information, so then left is right, right is left.
Do we make distinctions? Are there scholars nowadays that that go back and look at different statements of Chazal? We can determine based on the science of that time. Do we universally say that Chazal, either A, in all cases, 100% were aligned with the science of their time back then, or 100%.
All right,
each case looked at individually.
Yeah, each case is different, but obviously the different. That's more the Chazan Ish's approach. Mm-hmm. No, but other, you know, obviously there are other approaches, the Pachad Yitzchak, others that basically say that this isn't necessarily arguing. This one is saying is, the other approach is the rabbis just knew the science at the time. They couldn't know. And this one isn't saying that's way different. This is just saying that, I guess they had the Ruach HaKodesh when they passed, and they're going to be right, even though not for the reason they might have thought then. That's saying a little different. But no, clearly there are other schools that thought that say no. That The rabbis only knew more up until the science of that time. They couldn't know better than the scientists of that time. And therefore, if they base, you know, that's why some opinion, it's a minority view, but if they say, okay, so today we know spontaneous generation is wrong, so that's it. You throw the halacha out the window. The principle's wrong, and therefore you can know, there are those who are machmir, there are those who say you cannot kill lice today on Shabbos, because since we know there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, therefore you can. And, you know, as opposed to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Auerbach, he just takes a different approach. He just says, maybe it's similar. He says, no, that's not the Pshat in the Gemara. They never said spontaneous. That's not what they meant, spontaneous generation. He says, you know what it means is that, of course, Chazal knew spontaneous generation didn't exist. But what they were saying is here that these lice were so small that al pi halacha, we don't consider them, we know physically they did reproduce, but pi halacha, we don't view them as reproduced, like for instance, like bugs. Let's say right now I'm swallowing probably hundreds of bugs as we talk. It's the right to eat bugs, but how come I'm allowed to do it? I have no choice anyway, but everyone's doing it. So no one says you're onus, and that's why. It's because that was when Chazal said you can't, when the Torah says you can't eat bugs, the microscopic bugs, when they aren't considered those bugs. In other words, so therefore, similarly here, he's saying by the Gemara over there, by the Kina, that it's not that, of course they knew spontaneous generation. But they were just saying is, pi halacha, that's what they can, you know, they might have considered it spontaneous, but not that they actually didn't know, that they didn't think the bugs came from Shmutz. They knew they came from other, from a mommy. But they're saying, pi halacha, like for instance, like mushrooms, the Chazal tell us, mushrooms, they say, shahakol nyebidvaro, because even though they grow in the ground, but they get the nourishment out from the air around. I'm sure some person in time to tell me, what are you talking about? I know they'll prove to me scientifically, but they do get nourishment from the ground. Okay, I'm not arguing with the science, but the answer would be is, I agree, but api halacha, that's considered insignificant. That amount of nourishment they're getting, the fact that Chazal is saying as a statement that mushrooms get the nourishment, so not denying there's nourishment from the ground, but what Chazal tells, api halacha, the nourishment they're getting from the ground is not considered halachically significant, and therefore we treat it like it's getting an effort shahakol. That's how many will respond. But of course, in terms, that's a whole different share. But definitely, there are many who would say that the rabbis just know, that gets into a whole chazan issue of Moshe, whether you assume Chazal knew more than the sign, you know, knew what we know today or more than we knew. That's a, you know, a whole separate share in terms of that. But, you know, Machlokas, Rav Moshe, Chazan Ish, and others, you know, along those lines. That's the question: is rabbinic law binding in error? So you have different approaches. So you have the Ramban. No, it's not binding in error. But the fact you think they made a mistake—that's not real. We don't care what you think. You gotta be a Talmud Chacham to have an opinion. Rav Elchanan wasn't answering the steer. Rav Elchanan was just explaining here. Right? Is that we see we do it? And Rav Moshe Glass is trying to. He has an interesting. You know, not a lot of people. You know, might disagree with the chiluk, but he gives a distinction. He says, "What do we say right is left? If Chazal were basing it on the correct science of the time, so then even if the science changed later on, we still go with the rabbis, and a hore kina b'shabbos is not chayav. However, if they base on erroneous information, so then it's not binding in error, and therefore you have then we don't follow them. So that's some of the introduction in terms of how do we reconcile the Sifri, the Rashi quotes about Yamina Smo, which the Mishnah hurries. We have to go into, next time we have to go into the how much power do the rabbis have? When we say Lo Sussu, you have to follow the rabbis. To what extent, you know, what are the parameters of you know, what are the limits and the scope of their authority in terms of what they can do and what they can't do?
That's a